Yeah. Shake somebody's hand and praise God. Praise God's fellowship.
We got one more.
Choosing to be in His presence today, we ask that you now join us, whether you're standing or sitting, in our call to worship, Spirit Song 347. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, 139 in the hymnal. Think about that. Let the amen sound from his people again. I had to look real quick. So this was written in 1680. People fuss about saying amen in church. It's a newfangled things and show-offs. That was about 400 years ago, people.
Amen.
It's longer than that. Seems like praising the Lord has always been an issue when God's people get together.
Amen.
All right. Well, I feel it. Oh, it's time now to share with one another. You know what? Well, I already know people had a lot worse week than I had, and I don't know how I got through mine. But somebody has a testimony of praise, and that's the function of testimony, is to tell the rest of us, hang on, hold for it. God is on the way. He never stops. So let's hear our words of testimony and praise this morning. Arlene? I knew you looked sick. I'm going to wash that hand now.
Praise the Lord that I didn't throw up here, didn't you?
You know what? That's a good thing. We need a bucket of sawdust. Y'all remember that? Sawdust? I think now they've got vomit away, but then we had sawdust. Dana, why don't you go ahead and bring us up a level?
I'll praise God.
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
And I can praise the Lord for Anna for keeping up with John while I was in the hospital. It's a full-time job.
All right, I feel our praise is elevating here. John?
Yeah, I called Pastor Chris the other day.
You can stand up.
I called Pastor Chris on Friday. Hope Mountain Ministry is working with a new boy named Jason over in Gaffney, and I watched this guy rededicate his life. But it was more as I watched death and resurrection transpire right in front of me. And, you know, I watched my kids be born, and that was beautiful. But to see Jesus in action is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. Amen.
If you don't learn how to share Jesus with someone who needs him, you're missing out on one of the greatest joys in life. Anna?
Lots of praise and not a praise. This girl that was homeless asked me to take her home one day, and I asked her what she said. She says, I used to be. I said, well, do you believe now? She says, I guess I got a spirit. And I said, you do. She died right before Christmas. She died right before Christmas. Oh.
Well, if we can wonder about the cry in her soul, we can be sure God knew about the cry in her soul. Okay. Colleen?
I have a praise about Dad, so it's a prayer request too, of course. But the hospitalists or the general medicine doctors or whatever they call them nowadays at the hospital have been just giving us all kinds of dire news about Dad, and they think it's this terrible thing, and we're going to have to do this awful thing, and he's saying no, and it's been very, very discouraging. And we had a surgeon come in yesterday, and he said, no, it's not any of that stuff. It's the same thing he's been here from the very beginning. He's just got to get up and get moving. And I won't repeat in church what the doctor said. So I just feel so much lighter. And of course, I'm claiming to what he said because it's nowhere near as bad as the other fellows. So we're just praying that Dad can get up and get moving and get that gut healed and do that.
That's a pretty good report. Thank you. Yeah. Other testimony, words of praise. Yes, Martha.
I just wanted to thank God for all the blessings that our family has. And I want to thank Him that we have got the opportunity to have Mama here.
Yeah.
And just praise the Lord that she's able. To come and be loved.
Amen. Thank you. Others? I know.
Well, Linda saw her surgeon Thursday, and he released her. And so she's continuing to get stronger, and she doesn't have to go back to see him anymore. So praise the Lord for that healing and continuing.
Amen. Okay. Other hands were up. Eric?
Last Sunday, we were able to watch our Layman and Silas sitter. Her two daughters and niece got baptized. So that was an awesome
Amen.
Experience. And then Waylon's feeling better, but just continue to pray that we catch whatever it is in that ultrasound. Unless God says, I'm going to heal you. But we need to figure out what's going on so we can get it took care of, what needs to be took care of.
Well, listen close. God may say, I'm going to heal you through some real good specialist. So, Mac?
Julia's asked me to speak for her because she can't project her voice right now. And she's very grateful for all the prayers that have been answered. The doctors have looked at her, examined her, poked and prodded, and they have found a path that they think will be positive in the future. It will take a while, but she's very grateful for that. She wants all of you to know how much she appreciates your prayer.
Thank you, Julie. Thanks for that word. Appreciate it very much. Well, let's transition then to our concerns, because there are a lot, and we want to get them out in front of the congregation. Arlene?
One of my friends called me last night and left a message on my answering machine. I don't know exactly what all, but pray for the coach Tommy Owens. He's in the hospital, and I think he's right bad. Okay. But I don't know. I think she said he might have had a stroke or something.
He did. He's in ICU currently with a brain bleed.
Okay. So Tommy Owen?
Tommy Owens.
Okay. Others? Eric?
The Crook family.
Okay. Kathy?
Just a prayer request for Sean. He's not feeling very well. He's got asthma. He's having problems breathing. And he's throwing the bullpen. That's a prayer for me.
I was trying not to say things. Anna?
Prayers for me that I get a good report on the 29th.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Others?
Our brother Tim has been diagnosed with cancer colon.
Okay.
Hopefully, they're saying it's encapsulated just one area, and I think they got it all. But
okay.
Definitely.
Oh, the surgery already happened. Okay.
Well, right. Colonoscopy.
Yeah. Okay.
So they're still going to do some more testing this week to make sure that they got it all.
Okay. My last remaining uncle on my dad's side, my dad's sister's husband, Uncle Gerald, has decided nobly and with dignity to cease his dialysis treatments, and so he's also not been eating very much, and so we'll just ask for your prayers for Uncle Gerald, his wife Janice, and of course my dad, and that God's grace will be there on that family this time. Who, Mac? Judy. Somebody hold her hand up.
No, there's a woman in the community who has just received a diagnosis that she has 1 year to live.
Okay.
I said we pray for her.
All right. So a person in the community with a diagnosis of 1 year. You know, it's interesting. Doctors are trained to be diagnosticians. It's what their training is. And sometimes experience allows them to attach judgments to that about a person's lifespan and quality of life. But so grateful God is able to know the exact day. And until that day, you're not going anywhere. Okay. Others?
Pray this flu that's going around gets out of here.
I really thought I was going to hear a lot of that this morning.
This is my first time this year because I've been taking care of sick grandbabies and children.
Yeah, a lot of it going around, and we just want to be careful. That's right. And pray for one another. I want to raise a prayer concern, and that is that we, as a congregation, remain steadfast and humble in the convictions that we've stood out on. It's hard, and one of the greatest challenges pastorally is to get people to understand the kind of onslaught they come under from the enemy when they as a people choose to make a stand for God's word. And it may not, most often doesn't seem to be coming from anything to do with that. It always comes at us through our family, our closest friends, our marital relationships. Just remember, Pastor Chris said that the next time you begin to struggle in your relationships. And he's been picking and prying at every aspect of our church's life through the people. And so we just want to treat one another reverently and humbly and with respect and see God work and see God move. It's going to be wonderful, I know. All right, let's go to the spirit of prayer and just ask God to anoint us in this time. Our Father, as we were singing earlier, it felt as though you were restoring and renewing ties and bonds of kinship. First to yourself and drawing us to you. But also, there was a union that can only happen when voices are raised. And we were united together in song and praise. God, knit us together, knit our hearts in praise for you. For who could surpass the works of God? Your works and the splendor and the beauty of what you have done astonish, amaze, and sometimes render us speechless. But God, just to contemplate these things can cause us to see you as holy other. And yet you have come running every single time to demonstrate you want to be in a relationship, yes, with humankind, but specifically with each one of us. Forgive us when we become numb to your wooing influences in our lives because of suffering, because of pain, when our senses are screaming at us to pay attention to some other thing. God, be there. Be our next breath. Be our next step. In this worship today, God, let your anointing fall. Let this worship be at your direction. Intercede and intervene as you see fit. And God, give us a word today in time, in season, that will strengthen us and encourage us, that will, frankly, confound and cause some to feel conviction. So to that end, Lord, raise up the humblest heart here today who feels as though they are beneath your notice. And Lord, strike the person who feels that he or she is above anything that you want to do here today. Bring them to the place of accountability and submission. God, as always, for that one who needs to know Christ as personal Savior, help them realize that the anger and the churning and the turmoil they feel inside is from the enemy, a misdirection. That your invitation will be loud and clear here today for them as well. Bless those we've named that we want to pray for, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to join in their healing. We thank you for your many answers to prayer. And now, God, as we continue, we ask that you would give us the assistance of the church in heaven, triumphant, and all the church on earth, militant, as we stand in the name of Jesus to pray in the way he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Well, we want to take a moment for some announcements. Our regular weekly schedule will resume again this week. I'm sorry about the Bible study last week. You know, lessons in the Bible study are these units that people come on purpose to hear. It's not like Sunday worship. Unless I can't walk from that parsonage to here, there will probably be church in this building on Sundays in inclement weather. Whether you're here or not is a matter of your safety and your good sense. But Bible study, I don't have any qualms about canceling it when the weather's bad, because if enough people can't come, they miss out on something that everybody wanted to hear. They were coming on purpose. And so that's why, if there's a seeming contradiction, just know that there are some things I can cancel. But there are other things like worship. You know, the rednecks with the four-wheel drive, they say, we got to get out. Got to get out. Got to get bread and milk and toilet paper and... oh, let's swing by the church. So I'll be here for that crowd. I'll bring a full load of feed for them. And just know your safety is paramount in our hearts, okay? All right, other announcements, anybody? Joy?
I'm going to pass around the sign-up sheet for
the readings. Okay. We'd love to have more readers, and we lose the list from time to time. So is that what everybody else does? But Is that what everybody else does, but they're not married to me, so they don't say it out loud? Good thing I'm preaching on marriage in February. Like an expert.
Somebody told me when I started in the ministry with you that I didn't act like a preacher's wife. And I said when they gave me a book, I'd start acting like that.
Oh, I'm not saying.
That's also probably your best bet.
I'm getting older and slightly wiser. Let's see. Okay, the Realm app. Many of you are registered on your computer to get receive emails and stuff. There's this nebulous thing when you download the app to your phone. I guess it may be Android users. I don't know. It seems like all the iPhone people are getting it with all the permissions turned on. But you've got to get into your account and figure out how to receive it. If you want it on your phone, you sort of have to give your phone permission to get it on your phone. I can't be more specific than that, but you may have a six-year-old in your neighborhood who can fix you right up. Okay? We're still struggling with that. But if you're getting the notices on your computer, it's most likely that you don't have permissions for notifications on your phone. So just be aware of that. We're trying. People, thanks for everybody's responses, by the way. All right. Any other announcements?
Methodist women meet.
Yes. Oh, Methodist women were supposed to meet this week. What's it going to be?
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Six o'clock.
All right. 6 o'clock on Tuesday. All right. Is that it for announcements?
And next Sunday is
Third Sunday? Yeah, be time for the pickup for Woodruff Soup Kitchen. That's right. Okay. We're also, pay attention for, I've got to work with Jeff and Sarah. Raise your hand, Jeff and Sarah. They've agreed to host us for a day, a training day. We get together and, some of you have been asking me out the door. I see my name is in this slot as serving this year, and I don't know what I'm doing. Well, that day we'll get together and talk about all those jobs and how they interrelate and work together. I've got to work with them to find a day, probably in February now, that will be good for all of us. So, all right. Okay. Well, that does it, I guess. Kevin, if you'll come and help us. Oh, Terry.
Breakfast on Friday morning. Anybody wants to come and help? Either the men and women basketball.
Terry, is it safe to say that when they hear school is canceled, they should? Huh?
Their school's canceled when I have breakfast.
Okay, so just pay attention to that and know that on Fridays during basketball season, they're going to need your help to fix some breakfast for the basketball teams. Okay, thank you.
If the ushers would come forward. Truly is an honor to receive your offering. To stand in the gap between your people and your altar, it really is a very scary place to be. But see, I know that your grace covers all things, that your love abounds even in those in this room. Lord, we need you. We thank you for who you are. We ask you, Lord, to receive this offering as a blessing to you. Not as some law requires, but out of a giving heart because we love you. We thank you, Lord. Bless this time. Let us ponder what we're doing truly in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let us stand for the reading of the gospel.
Gospel reading this morning comes from John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under a fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is what we believe.
Thanks be to God. Let us present our offering.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Me on Your Mind.
Me on Your Mind.
By Matthew West.
Yeah. Well, I've read the words in red. Now you leave the 99. Find the one missing, felt like I missed. Leaving his world behind.
So one great thing about modern mail delivery, you can get it in your mailbox. You can go to a post office box. You can get it through FedEx, UPS. You can get it through, what's that, drop?
You get a beer drop.
Beer drop?
Air.
Air drop? Oh, like in Alaska or somewhere? God's always sending mail. And some days, you're it. You're the delivery driver. It's not, you don't create the mail. You don't read the mail. You just carry the mail. God's always sending the mail. If you got your mail this morning in that song, Jason didn't write the mail. He didn't send the mail. He just carried the mail. Now you have the privilege of carrying the mail. Today's message is God's second relationship. Now, I'm going to lay out some groundwork, really just get you thinking in these ways, okay? Because we're going to have about 7 or 8 Sundays together. And once you hear me say a few more words, you're going to figure out who it is you need to be inviting to church, okay? Because I've been saying for months now, I've been running at it like a bull at a tablecloth. We're going to do this. Well, we're going to dig right in. About the sacredness of our existence. The importance and worth of who we are to God. And why that should matter. God's second relationship. So, the way this is going to look, I'm going to chart this out a little bit for you. Oh, I wrote down the list. Now I can't find it. Is the sermon here? Whew. Well, let me just see if I can remember it for you. This is me. This is straight up the way I deliver mail. So this week and 2 more weeks in January, we're going to look at relationship friendship. Okay? We're going to look at God's second relationship. Next week, we're going to look at man's second relationship. And we're going to talk a little bit about covenant relationship. February is the month of love. So we'll be talking about love, friendship, and sexuality. And yes, we'll go there. And so many of us bear the scars in our lives, our histories. You know, when we point at people, we forget that 4 fingers are pointing back at us and said, were you alive during the 70s? You know, and we're going to take an honest look at what God requires, what God expects of our, and basically love in covenant relationship. So you're going to want to invite somebody that needs to hear it, and you're going to want to help us pray over it, because just to speak of certain things brings out all kinds of temptation. It shakes the cobwebs and wakes up things in people. So we're going to need to be, time is going to have to be sanctified and protected by God as we share. So today, the text is Genesis 3. 1 through 11, and I'll be referencing other parts of Genesis. God's second relationship. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, doing what? Knowing good and evil. Keep your mind on that. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Meanwhile, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid." Imagine that first experience of fear. "I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" God, bring these words to life in our hearts. And whether you use the human voice or just that process where you think with us, God, bring us to knowledge of you today that we didn't have before. Come, Holy Spirit, magnify Jesus, even in this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, relationship with God. I sure hope I find my sermon before I finish. There it is. Some pieces of it are right there. I'll just ask you a question, and it isn't a rhetorical question at all. I expect you to think about it and answer if you know. Who is God's first relationship with? Preaching about God's second relationship today. Who is God's first relationship?
Himself.
Absolutely. God's first relationship is with God. God loves God's self. God is fascinated within God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit in a way we don't understand and could never write a definition for. God is, because, how do we know? Because of what God reports to us about Himself. God delights in what God does. He created things and He would sit back and go, "You're good. That's so good." God loved what God was making. God was enjoying making and creating. So we get the first sense that God has emotion. Because he's appreciating what He's making. It says the Spirit of God was hovering over the deep. And things were happening. It's almost as if it was inevitable that God would create a second relationship. A second friendship. Not just friendship between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and reciprocally among all three in one being, but also, you know, oh, God, just calm down. And when He reveled in His creation, when he saw it, the splendor, when what was in God poofed and just came out. And that what it was to God, and God actually feeling in His creation, God developed a relationship with it. More specifically, with the dust. You know, that primordial whatever He made, fashioned Himself a man. God's second relationship was with human beings. And so God made Himself a man, and He put him in the garden, and He had him work in a pleasurable way. And together they enjoyed it. And you get the image here. It's not directly said, but you kind of feel that God loved to walk with Adam. God appears in that garden to walk one day. And why do I think He enjoyed walking with Adam and Eve? Because He noticed when they weren't there. I think we could assume or infer that God walked with them. We learn later that one other person in particular, who was it that walked with God and was no more, Ernie? He's not listening. Say it.
Enoch.
Thank you. It wasn't coming. Enoch's another one that walked with God, and then one day he just disappeared. I guess he forgot whether he was here or there. But think of this. God created the man, it says, in his own image. Male and female, he created him. Right there, you know that he doesn't mean physical body was made in God's image. So there was something within the man and the woman that was God's image. He put it there for a reason. God's second friendship is man's first relationship. God's second friendship is man's first friendship. And when God noticed that they weren't there, of course God knew where they were. But hey, you know how it is with your kids? I still remember when I'd done bad, Mama said, "When your daddy gets home." And we fled. But I was the ringleader, so I fled higher. I fled into a tree that bent over. I was so high in it. And here comes my dad with a baby Ruth. Chris. And I see a baby Ruth bar in his hand. He didn't say he was going to give it to me. It turned out it was his baby Ruth. "Where are you?" Pretty sure you could see my big butt up in. Anyway, God comes into the garden on a day that's not good for man. Now man has to check his calendar. Now man has to get dressed. You see, they ate of a tree in the garden called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we tend to think, now man knows evil. But that's only half of it. Now man knows evil, and he also knows good. And so what the man now has to struggle with is what's good and what's evil. And he has to try, because God's image, broken as it is in the man and the woman. They have to try being good. Do you understand how fundamentally different that was from their first relationship? Where being good was no effort at all. Do you remember a time when being good for you was hardly any effort at all? But knowing good and knowing evil, it brings on all this responsibility we're going to talk about in a minute with the Apostle Paul. Yes, we're going to get there. But for now, knowing that this relationship was so coveted by God, but all along knowing that I just cast these spirits out of this room and get rid of the interference and noise in Jesus' name. Draw everyone's attention to this word. God noticed when we didn't show up for breakfast. We went out to eat of the tree of good and evil. Now Satan said, "You surely will not die." And they began to reason that they wouldn't die. But they became aware of... What did they become aware of? Nakedness. In their first awareness of their nakedness was a knowledge of self. Self-awareness entered humankind that day. The distinctiveness. And also that Eve was different than Adam, and that what God had created in them came alive and became electric. You understand? It wasn't just nudity. It was nakedness before one another. And awareness of what God's reproductive purpose in His creation. But all that aside, knowing not only evil, but knowing what is good and striving for it. This is what the Apostle Paul pointed to in Galatians especially, and all through the New Testament letters, when he tells us That law subjects you to death. What you think you know and what you think you have to follow in all these religious rules, they lead to death just as surely as you were in sin. Religiously trying to follow the laws of God will lead you into despair, brokenheartedness, and lostness. All because we know good and we seek to achieve it. See, there's something in us, this image of God desires God. The image of God in you longs for God. But because it's broken, it can't quite, the homing signal's not there. So you say, instead of God today, I think I'm going to get that apple pie. And see if that satisfies me. I'm going to go have sex and see if that satisfies me. I'm going to raise money. I'm going to make all the money I can and see if that will satisfy me. And none of it does. There's this yearning, this yawning urge in all of us, drawing us to our first relationship, which is God Almighty. Where are you? God knew where Adam was. He wasn't there for roll call. God's second friendship was very good. Man was good. But now man has to be good. You see the difference? We have to choose good. You, me, we have to choose what is good. And sometimes the devil is so crafty in our lives, he makes us choose, but we are driven between two goods, right? A good and a better, and we can't figure it out. And so he hangs us on that nail. And Paul says, you're striving and striving because you don't understand the grace that's been applied to this situation. Here it is. God always knew his second relationship would require the cross. He always knew. Nothing ever surprised God. The devil's not striving to beat God. There's no knowledge in the devil that he will ever beat God at all. It's just that the devil is the epitome of what it is to be turned in on yourself as God. God knew that. And now God's second relationship, his friendship with man, requires a cross. And here is where the Son, Jesus, got to step forward. And now God is man, you see. God reduced himself to the stature of humanity. Physically, in every kind of way, Jesus was a man. You see, God entered our relationship to come and get us. Me on your mind. It was me on your mind. You didn't stop thinking. You never lost thought of me. When I was struggling and suffering because of sin and brokenness and death, when there was nothing but pain in my life, you never stopped trying to get my attention with the cross, where Jesus bore my sin, where Jesus made an exchange for all my evil permanently. Where I became God's good. And while I go crying and whining to God with this and that sin, and I say, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. God said, what sin is that? I forgave them all one day on the cross forever. I'm not remembering what you're talking about here. But we stay trapped under this law because of the knowledge of evil and good. You see. Man, I like it. The Lord starts preaching. I start getting preached to.
Yes.
I feel like repenting of something just to do it. I'm on God's mind. You're on God's mind. Your selfishness and your self-attraction and your distraction with what's going on in your life keeps you from seeing and acknowledging God, in effect making that first Garden of Eden mistake full in your life. Now your distraction is complete. The friendship is broken. That's all he wants to do, is sever your friendship with God. You say, well, I'm the black sheep of the family. Doesn't matter. There are parts of you you can't see. On our cat, so that cat can get all of the hair right there. How does our cat get that hair off? Huh? We've been married for 41 years, and our life together has never been better. And I'm going to tell you that when we get there, talking about our friendship, Joy probably won't attend church those weeks, because I'll break her car in Red Bank. All this requires God to be a man, and God knew it would, and God did it for you. You were on his mind. And he knew that you would appreciate it. He knew you were able to go, wow, I was on his mind. It was me on his mind. We love to tell other people that they're on his mind, but have you ever just stopped to think that it was you? Now man's first friendship has to be a choice. Okay? Now your first friendship has to be a choice of good. The good. But there's only one good. It's God. And Jesus is his name. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Stop trying to bend the world around some law in your mind. When God gets the fullness of your friendship, he will have the perfection of your life. You'll be naked and not know it. You'll be vulnerable and exposed in the world and be as at peace with that as you can be. John was so excited. John gets so excited that I stopped getting excited. He called and said, you never guess what happened. I said, oh, somebody got saved, didn't they, John? He told me about that family. You imagine the rejoicing there was in that room when that man came to Christ. And Mama said, I've been praying for him for so long. Now, he's still got a struggle. He's going to have to get clear. God's going to have to deliver him of alcohol. But he's your brother now. And he was on God's mind. I'm sure if you think for a minute, the Spirit of God will allow you to recognize how you've been on his mind. God's not indifferent to your suffering. God's not even indifferent to your selfish preoccupations with anxiety and worry, fear. But how many times in his word does he have to say, do not fear. Never fear. Don't worry. I know what you're facing looks like death. I know what you've got to do. You'd rather eat pine resin than do what you're about to have to do. It's going to be fine. Here comes the youngins. So let's just wrap it up. We can continue in the weeks to come, and I hope this will get you thinking with God. Just remember, it takes a cross. We won't ask the Hornbys to come and play. Let's just reflect. The altar is a place to pray. It's specifically for you to be public in humiliation and in surrender and submitting yourself to God in the way of saying, I reduce myself to this, God, hear me, crying. If you want to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior today, which means to have Him come into your life and be your master, raise your hand while you're down here. I'll come pray. Some people raise their hand because they want me to pray with them. So you can't know anything in your seat. But this is a time for those who will come. Look, we don't have anybody coming? Oh, Ann is coming. Yes. We sing the 20th verse of Just As I Am. Just remember, for God to humiliate Himself with a cross, He expects us to do some surrendering on our side. So let's just sing about that, and let's depart today with that on our minds, okay? Let's stand and sing. I surrender all.
you're lost, okay? First half of the gospel is, get you saved. Second half of the gospel is just what we talked about today, get you good. See, religion makes you strive. It sets up rules, it causes you to feel like you can't achieve. But the second half of the gospel is about, now that the penalty of sin has been broken and forfeited in your life, it's paid. Now the power to be free from sin is yours. It's within your grasp. And so God is helping you be good. Stop striving to be good. Just let goodness grow. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.